Wise men still worship Jesus. Wise men still worship Jesus. Wise women still worship Jesus. Wise children still worship Jesus. The main point of my sermon today, and I'm going to give you the main point so you can go to sleep for the rest of it if you want to. The main point is, this Christmas, don't come to see a baby, come to worship a king. Don't come to see a baby, come to worship a king. The story of the wise men is a very interesting story. We're not exactly sure who they are, at least I'm not exactly sure who they are, or whether even they were godly people or not. They people who studied the sky. They were astronomers. And they saw a star and they came, but they knew about the coming Messiah. So they may have had some background or something, and they came to worship the child. Now, let me make a correction before we start, because most of us, we learn from what we see, and most of us, when we go to see the children's program and all that kind of stuff, we have the shepherds and the manger scene and all that kind of stuff, and the wise men are always there. Well, the fact is, wise men were not there. And you say, Lee, you mean you want to change all those little plays that the kids do and the drama team does? No, it's okay. It don't make any difference. But that's not a big deal when they came. But you do need to know the facts. You need to know the truth that the wise men did not come to the stable. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes, okay? I'll show it to you in the Bible and hope that's enough for you to accept it. But you do need to know. We learn, and I'm fascinated with my grandson. I never talk about my grandson, but anyway, I'm fascinated. My grandson's learns from adults. He's the firstborn child, and so he learns from adults. I suppose the second and third born learn from the other kids, I guess. I don't know. But I know he learns from what we do. And his mother and his dad and his granddad has a little gizmo that if I'm working with this thing, if you know anything about it, when I want something new, I just swipe it. Those of you who use it, you know what I'm talking about, just swipe it. Those of you who don't use it don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But you just hit it and go. You can go to the next page. Just swipe it across and go to the next page. And so he plays with mine all the time. I got a new one and I'm going to give him the old one. Yes, that worked out. he doesn't want the old one. He wants the new one. Okay? So he plays with mine all the time. And he just, if he don't like what's on there, you just swipe it. Take your finger and run across and get to the next screen. Well, the other day, we were looking at something on TV, and he went up and swiped the TV. And so he had learned something, but he applied it to the wrong thing. He thought he could get rid of whatever was on TV that he didn't like. He could just swipe it off. It would come to the next screen. And so many times we learn a great deal from what our children do with the little plays and the drama team does and all that stuff. And so I just want to remind you that the wise men were not at the stable. The shepherds were. We know the shepherds were because God told them, here's a sign for you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. He said, Lee, you said that wrong. He's supposed to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, right? You know, I was grown. In fact, probably in my 30s before I realized what a manger was. I just thought that was a part of the scene. I didn't ever think about what a manger was. It's a feeding trough. It's where you feed the animals in. And so they laid baby Jesus in the feeding trough. And he didn't have clothes. They wrapped him in strips of cloth. Just wrapped him in cloth. So that's what swaddling clothes are. So as a Christian, you need to know the facts, even though when we do certain things, we kind of loose with the facts sometimes. We have the wise men at the stable, and that's okay. But what I want to talk about today is, at Christmas, don't come to see a baby. Come to worship a king. Don't come to see a baby. Come to worship a king. Jesus came as a baby, but he came to be a king. He came to be a king. And I really like for you to look up all your stuff in the Bible. But when I have a lot of scriptures, sometimes I'll either put it on the board or I'll give it to you on a little thing. So I got that little thing I put in the bulletin. And notice the baby on the front is not a baby. Isn't that a great picture? Not a baby. It's like up to 2 years old. So that's the reason that picture is like that. It's in the manger because the wise man came. It was later. But in Luke chapter 1, when the angel announced the birth to Mary, let me read that to you, and then I want to emphasize one thing. Jesus came to be king. And so when you think about Christmas, don't come to see a baby. Come to worship a king. Luke 1, 31 through 33. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Jesus is king. Jesus is king. Don't come to see a baby. Come to worship a king. Don't come to see a baby. Come to worship a king. In Matthew chapter 2 that we read for our devotional time, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi, wise men, from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." I remember when I was in Bible college, was fascinated because as we read the Bible, a lot of times we don't think about what we're reading. And when I was in Bible college, the professor pointed out, we saw his star in the east. We don't know what that means. They were in the east when they saw the star, or the star was in the east. We saw his star in the east. But what I want to point out this morning is, why did they come? Why? To worship him. They came to worship him. Don't come to see a baby. Come to worship a king. They came to worship him. So Christmas celebration should be a worship celebration. We come to worship the king. Luke 2:11. And after coming into the house, stop right there. Where was it when the shepherds came? In the manger. They were in a stable. Now when the wise men came, coming into the house, and if you don't know what that means, just read it. H-O-U-S-E, house. Okay. They coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Another thing you need to know is it's not a major issue, but we don't know how many wise men there were. We don't know how many wise men there were. We think there were three because there were three gifts. So everybody thinks there were three wise men. In fact, some theologians have even named the wise men. But as far as the Bible is concerned, we don't know how many there were. Three is as good a guess as any. But you need to know that's not what the Bible says. It's just what we think. Judging from there were three gifts, so there must have been three wise men. But it is possible that more than one wise man gave the same gift, right? Around Christmas, any of you get the same gift from two different people? Okay? You know, take it back to Walmart and exchange? No, I don't know. Oh, you re-gift, do you? You give it to somebody else. Oh, okay. We don't know how many wise men were. We do know they were not in the stable. They were in a house by the time the wise men got there. Okay. Don't come to see a baby. Come to worship a king. And I want to emphasize that he's king. And I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that talks about what happens when we become Christians, when a person becomes a Christian. Listen to what it says. And he, that means God, he rescued us, that's us, from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So when I become a Christian, when you become a Christian, we become a part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. A kingdom has a king, right? Jesus is the king. So when I come for Christmas, I don't come to see a baby. I come to worship a king. I come to worship a king. When I become a Christian, I am transferred from the domain of darkness, from the kingdom of Satan, to the kingdom of Jesus. I'm a part of his kingdom. Now he is my king. I let him rule in my life. And not only do I worship the king, I submit to the king. I allow him to control my life. I'm in his kingdom. Don't come see a baby. Come worship a king. Revelations chapter 1. And this is the description of who the book of Revelation is from. It's really from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But this is the part that talks about Jesus. And in it, it talks about what Jesus did for us. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Not only is he king, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Say more about that in a minute. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. He loves us and he released us. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from our sins by taking the punishment of our sins upon himself. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom. We are part of his kingdom, and he is king in our life. He rules in our life. We give him authority in our life. It is Christianity is not a democracy. It's a monarchy. Can't say that word. Somebody help me. It's not a democracy, but a monarchy. Okay, and who's the king? Jesus. Jesus. And so I become a part of his kingdom. Priest to God the Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm a part of his kingdom because I'm submitting to him as king. Don't come see a baby, come worship a king. I fear what we do so many times is we celebrate Christmas, and it's okay to celebrate Christmas, but I think we leave the baby in the manger. And we need to realize, as Bert said during his devotions, that that's just a part of the story. That's just a part of the story. He came for a purpose. He did come. He was born as a baby. But the wise men came. They didn't come to see a baby. They came to do what? Worship a king. Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We came to worship him. We came to worship him. That's what our Christmas celebration should be about. We should worship the king. We should worship the king. Revelation 19:16, and on his robe and on his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not only is he king, he's king over all other kings. It's like if the king, all the kings of the earth, if all the rulers of the earth had a union, he'd be the boss. He'd be all of them. He'd be over all of them. He's the King of Kings. There's no king over him. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when we celebrate Christmas, we don't come to see a baby. We come to worship a king. We don't come to see a baby. We come to worship a king. He's the king. He's the king. He's the ruler of our life. And we submit to him as ruler. We allow him to be the ruler in our life. And right now, that's voluntary. If a person wants to be a part of his kingdom, you can be a part of his kingdom. If you don't want to be a part of his kingdom, you can choose not to. It's okay. Whatever you want to choose. If you don't want to serve him, it's up to you. It's your choice. But the day's coming when that's not going to be true. The day's coming when every person will submit that he's king. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. How many knees are going to bow? Every knee is going to bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You say, Lee, that's not very nice. No, it's not. That's pretty dogmatic, isn't it? The Bible says you got a choice now whether you want to serve him or not. But there's coming a day when you don't have that choice. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we celebrate Christmas, it should be a worship celebration. It should be a worship celebration. Don't leave Jesus in the manger. It's okay to celebrate his birth, even though we don't know the time. In fact, we don't even know the year for sure. Most people think it's 4 B.C. Chuck, he just wants to be different. He thinks it's 7 B.C. But so we're not exactly sure when he was born. We're pretty sure it was not December the 25th. Pretty sure. I mean, if you had to guess, that's a very poor guess. A much better guess would be October. But that's still a guess. We don't know when. We don't know when he was born. We do know he was born, and we know he was born for a purpose. And most of the time we talk about that purpose, that he came to save us from our sins. And that's true. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's true. But he also came to be a king, to rule. And he rules over those who submit to his leadership now. We allow him to be the king in our life. When we become Christians, we don't give authority in our life to the preacher or to the elders or to the denomination or whatever. We give authority to Jesus. We allow him to be the king in our life. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the top of the list. He overrules everything else that anybody else says. In other words, if somebody comes up and says, Lee, you need to do this, and Jesus said, no, Lee, you need to do this, which one am I going to do? What Jesus said. He's the king. He's the ruler. He's the supreme authority in my life. Don't come to see a baby. Come to worship a king. And I hope this Christmas, as you celebrate the birth of Christ, all the things that we do, the food and the family and the sales and all that stuff, it's okay. But what you need to focus on is worshiping the king. Worshiping the king. Allowing him to be the authority in your life. Allowing him to be king. Not only in theory, not only in way or down just an idea that he's the king, but in practice. What does that mean, that he's king of my life? What does that mean that if I'm going to celebrate this Christmas, if I'm going to start my new year, what does it mean that Jesus is king? Does it make a difference at all? It just amazes me that the God of the universe decided to become a man And he decided to become a man starting as a baby. I can't fathom the God of the universe that created everything that exists. Decided to become a baby. And the hands that he created were holding him and caring for him now. The person that he created was taking care of him as a baby. What humility. But he's not going to be a baby very long. He came to be a king. And I want to say again, he also came to be our Savior. He came to be a suffering servant, and he did that. But he came to be our King. So this Christmas, I want to challenge you, don't come to see the baby. Come to worship a King.